nothing. Let it go, see what tomorrow brings. Don't worry about nothing, pray about everything. Somebody say yee-haw in Jesus' name. Side's awful quiet tonight. Love is blind, and faith don't care. Lose your grip and your balloons go sailing off into the air. Oh, mama, what am I gonna do? She said, child, there's only one thing you can do. Don't worry about nothing. Let it go, see what tomorrow brings. Don't worry about nothing, pray about everything. Oh, take a walk, take a breath. Oh, give it all a rest. Take a cane pole to the fishing hole and catch a couple fish. And just like that, toss them back, make a little wish. Everybody stand up and greet somebody behind you right now. Tell them you're looking good in church tonight. Hey, don't worry about nothing. Just let it go, see what tomorrow brings. Come on, now clap your hands. Don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about nothing. Let it go, see what tomorrow brings. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Pray about everything. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap in the house. Somebody say amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab you a seat out there. Good to see you tonight. Everybody smile real pretty. It's a great day to be alive in the house of God. Amen. Revival. A farmer and a teacher, a hooker and a preacher, riding on a midnight bus bound for Mexico. One was headed for vacation, one for higher education, and two of them were searching for lost souls. And that driver never ever saw the stop sign. And 18-wheelers can't stop on a dime. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That farmer left to harvest a home in 80 acres, and faith and love for growing things in his young son's heart. And that teacher left her wisdom in the minds of lots of children, and did her best to give them all a better start. And that preacher whispered, can't you see the promised land? As he laid his blood-stained Bible in that hooker's hands. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, heaven only knows. I guess it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. That's the story that our preacher told last Sunday, as he held that blood-stained Bible up for all of us to see. Said, bless the farmer and the teacher and the preacher who gave this Bible to my mama, who read it to me. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there's not four of them, now I guess we know. It's not what you take when you leave this world behind you. It's what you leave behind you when you go. There are three wooden crosses on the right side of the highway.
Amen. Love that song. Love that song. Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back out on a Wednesday night. Your attendance is such an encouragement to me. But I ask a question. How many of you have been able to attend every single service of our revival this week? Raise your hand high. That is an absolutely awesome number, all right? So how many of you made it to at least three revival services? Raise your hand, right? How many of you made it to two revival services? How many of you are here for the first time tonight? Raise your hand if you're a guest tonight. Get them up high. Okay. They didn't tell yet. Yeah. Well, this is the deal. They didn't say this. Everybody that showed up tonight for the first time, all first-time visitors are going to get a free $500 Walmart gift certificate, all right? So how many of you are here for the first time tonight? Raise your hand. So we found out we got a lot of people need to get saved because you're a bunch of liars. That's what happened. No, my goodness, I'm so blessed to be here. I want to thank my friend and your pastor for having me this week. You have been an encouragement to me and your lovely wife and everybody that took a part in feeding me and entertaining me. Me and Pastor went and played golf today, and everything you've heard about him hitting a golf ball is actually true. We were playing in Calhoun, and he hit one off the tee. Somebody screamed in Atlanta because I hit him in the head, okay? I'm just going to tell you this. The man can smack it a mile. That's all I'm going to say, all right? But anyway, thank you, my brother. What a blessing you've been to me. Thank you so much. Are you ready to have a big time tonight? You know, here we started. We hit the ground running, and we started off, right? And now you done tapered off a little bit, all right? Let's ask that again. Are you ready to have a good time tonight? That's a little bit better. Here's a song that is a foot stomping, hand clapping song. It's called I'm Just Living in My Temporary Home. If you want to stand up and clap, you can do that right now. Come on, like this right here. Yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm just walking around with my head up in the clouds. I'm steady moving, but I'm not gaining ground, heading the wrong way in a crowd. Then I remember I'm not part of this world, that I'm moving higher each day. Upward mobility sounds mighty good to me, and I just can't wait to get away. Yeah, I got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. I got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Somebody say, amen. Amen. Yeah, when you are bothered by the problems of life, don't you let them get you down. Just look to Jesus, you will not be denied. He'll move you up to higher ground. Don't you forget that you're a child of the King, that you're an heir to his throne. You may not know just when, but he's coming back again to take us to a happy home, y'all. I got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. I got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. I got to remember I'm not here to stay. I'm looking forward to a brighter day. I got to remember I'm not here for long. I'm just living in my temporary home. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap in the house, somebody. Amen. Is this my water? Yes, all right, go ahead and grab a seat, everybody. Go ahead and grab your seat right there. What is it, sweetheart? It really is, yes, it really is. And you are absolutely perfect to model my merchandise. Stand up and show them that awesome hat you're wearing right there. Look at that, everybody. Turn around so they can see it. Turn around so they can see it. Look at them. Turn around. Look at them. How about that, everybody? So I'm going to sing a song tonight that I wasn't going to sing. I've been battling some allergies. I battle seasonal allergies, and every year I go through this, and I get a little snotty, and, you know. Okay, I said snotty, okay? Everybody's got it, all right? Come on, let's get real, okay? My eyes get to itching. You know what's crazy, though? This is the first year, though, I've had allergies, and I lost my taste and smell. I can't figure that out. I'm just kidding, okay? Don't freak out. I'm just kidding. But I do battle seasonal allergies, and when you travel like I do, it gets kind of crazy. I wasn't going to sing this song. But today, the pastor and I was having lunch, and we got to talking about something, and it reminded me of this song, and I'm going to try to sing it for you. We were having lunch today, and I don't know what got us talking about preachers. They call them hacking preachers. Y'all know what a hacking preacher is? Some of you have no idea? Hacking preachers, they say, "Well, glory! This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." That's what they call a hacker. Okay, now I'm not making fun of them. I've got hacking preachers in my family, and I love it. So about 15 years ago, there was a pastor that heard me perform in Pigeon Forge. If you're not aware of this, I have a show in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Matter of fact, pray for me, because I got to leave bright and early tomorrow morning. I have to be on stage at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Have two shows tomorrow, actually, in Pigeon Forge. But anyway, I share my testimony at our theater, and I met a pastor about 15 years ago from the First Baptist Church of Zephyr Hills, Florida. And he invited me to come down and do a revival. And so we traveled down there, my wife and I. She's a school teacher now, but this is when she still traveled with me full time. We get to Zephyr Hills, Florida on Sunday morning, and it's about 10 minutes before 11, 10 minutes before revival services are going to start. Now, this is the First Baptist Church of Zephyr Hills, Florida, you know, conservative Baptist people. This preacher comes running up to me, and here's the deal. I met him in Pigeon Forge, but most of the time, I have to see you for a second time to remember you. Does that make sense? I see tens of thousands of people every year in Pigeon Forge. So anyway, I recognized this preacher. He came running up to me. He said, "Well, glory! This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And I thought, man, I'm going to love this little preacher. Come on, you know what I mean? He's a fireball. He looked at me. Now, this is Sunday morning, about 10 minutes before services are going to start. He looked at me and he said, "Brother Evans, I want you to sing me a song today in the house of God." Exactly. Now listen, I was expecting this old school Baptist preacher. I said, "I'll sing anything you want me to sing. What do you want to hear?" I was expecting him to request the Midnight Crying, which is a fan favorite, or maybe Beulah Land, or How Great Thou Art, or Amazing Grace. 10 minutes before service is going to start, I said, "What do you want to hear?" He said, "Only You" by the Platters. I'm telling you that. I looked at him and I said, "Say what?" He said, "Only You by the Platters. It's mine and my wife's favorite song." I said, "Brother, that was a rock and roll song out of Motown." He said, "I don't care. We love it." I said, "This is Sunday morning. We're starting revival." He said, "I don't care. We love it." He said, "Sing it. Have you ever heard it? Only You." Well, there's a part in the middle of the song, and it says, "Only You." Well, I was singing "Only You." He was sitting by his wife on the front row. He had his arm around her. When I hit that, "Only You," he was lip syncing. And I got so tickled. I'm serious. I had to walk away to keep from laughing, to keep singing. First of all, it was a little bit weird to be singing a Motown song on Sunday morning. But I walked to this side of the pulpit area, and the place was packed. It was a big church, had a big balcony. And I found my wife somewhere near the back. She was near the back. She was pointing to somebody over here on this side. And I looked over, and there was a young woman, 25, maybe 30 years old. As I was singing "Only You," she was the only one. She was standing with her arms in there. She was praising God to this song. And I thought, well, that's strange. But then I started focusing on the words that I was saying, and it dawned on me, every word to that song, it's praise and worship. You know, it's amazing the songs out there that may have been a rock and roll song or a country song. It's amazing those songs. If you'll just change the audience and sing it to the Lord, they can be songs of worship. "Only You." I have never sang that song with the same heart or the same mind, because now every time I sing it, I can't help but think about the Lord that saved me. and set me free. Amen. I wasn't going to sing this song, but when we started talking about it, I thought, I got to tell that story, and I got to sing that song. Only you. Are you ready for this, church? Three of you. That's great. Only you can make this world seem right. Only you can make the darkness bright. Only with love, for only you, only you can make this change in me, for it's true, you are my day. When you hold my hand, I understand the magic that you do. You're my dream come true, my one and only you. Are my destiny. When you hold my hand, I understand the magic that you do. You're my dream come true, my one and only. Tell by the look on your faces, y'all are you're just dying to say, only on the count of three, get it out of your system. One, two, three. Don't ever do that again as long as you live. Amen. Hey, I want to recognize a few people and I want to say thank you. First of all, let's thank our production crew that's worked hard all week on the sound and the media. We did it the other night, and they loved it. On the count of three, just go ahead and blow them a kiss right now. One, two, three, go. That old fella behind the sound booth, we just embarrassed him. Look at him. He turning red back there. Okay, and also, how about a hand for everybody that was involved with our music and worship this week, our leader, our quartet, everybody in the choir? And also, the ladies that helped me at my merch table, where are you at? Where's my, stand up real quick. Give these ladies a big hand clap, and I want to personally say thank you. And anybody that had a part in making this revival a success, and I'm going to call it a success because we've had so many people in the altar this week, Christians praying, seeking God to help them in their journey. But thank you so much to all of you that helped make this what it's been. It's been a special week. It really, really has. All right. So we're going to do a little singing together here right now. Can y'all hear that guitar out there? Here we go, ready? Y'all gotta sing it real loud.
With some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Come on.
Well, in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
One more time, I'll fly away.
In the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Amen. Amen.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.
Sing it out, church.
Oh, victory. He sought me. He loved me there.
Amen, amen.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now touch me and make me whole.
Sing this way.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same.
Sing it.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Give the Lord a hand clap, amen. Praise the Lord, amen. You having a good time in church tonight? Amen.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Sing it, church, sing it.
Then sings my how great thou art, how great thou art.
Sing it.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
We do all the time. We go to a ball game and we lift our fist in the air and we scream for our favorite team and we shout and we cheer, we smile, we celebrate. Sometimes when the referees do bad, we say things we're not supposed to say sometimes. I see the look on your face. You're not perfect. Come on now. But we'll go to a theme park or a ball game. We get excited over so many things. And we get vocal. We get excited. We will shout and lift our hands and jump up and down. Amen. I want to ask you to stand with me right now, church. I want to tell you something. I love sports. I love football and basketball and baseball. I love entertainment. I love all kinds of things. I get excited about lots of things. But nothing excites me more than when I think about the day that Jesus saved my soul. When he set me free. When he saved me by grace that I don't deserve, can't earn, and can't keep. It's grace that saved me. It's grace that keeps me. Amen. I want to ask you tonight that if you're comfortable, just to lift your hands in praise. And honor and glory to the God of heaven for who he is and what he does. Amen. And I want you to sing How Great Thou Art tonight like you've never sang it before. I want you to lift your voices to heaven and let's brag on him for a little while. Amen. He is a great God. He is an awesome God. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He is a sovereign God and he is all that we need. Amen. So let's lift our voices.
Then sings my
worthy Lord, sing it.
Then sings my how great thou, how great thou art, how great thou art. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
And Lord, you're worthy. You are worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. You are a good, good God. When we don't deserve it, you love us. We just give you praise tonight for who you are. And God, we worship you in this moment. We worship you and we say, you are worthy. You are worthy, oh God, you are worthy. And we can pray this because of Jesus. The name above all names, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap, amen. Go ahead and take a seat. So the first time I was at your church would have been, I think, a year ago, July. Is that right, Pastor? Something like that. July the 4th. That's right. That's exactly right. And I don't know, how many of you were here when I was here in July last year? Raise your hand high. If you don't remember, I actually showed up. Remember I told you I battle seasonal allergies? I had laryngitis then and was actually only able to sing one song that morning because my voice was so messed up. And I learned in July of last year that your pastor is one singing machine. I learned that that man, not only can he hit a golf ball to Atlanta, but when he opens his mouth to sing, a very, 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 very beautiful sound comes out. And I'm going to tell you something. The average pastor can't sing. Will they try? Okay, they can't sing, okay? But this man has been blessed not only with a spirit of kindness. There's a sweet spirit about the man. And I know you love him. And I want to tell you, brother, that I love you. You're my friend, and you mean a lot to me, brother. We have had people all week coming to my table. We've had probably at least, I know I've had at least three people that said, why don't you and our pastor sing a song together? So tonight, that just wasn't good enough, was it, brother? I've had people all week saying, why don't you and the pastor sing a song together? Wow, y'all really want us to? Come on, brother. So we're going to sing this song that I actually will probably screw up. Are you ready, brother? Okay, if you see me looking down at the pulpit, I'm not reading the lyrics, okay? There's nothing here. Good grief. This man, you all are slow tonight, people. What's wrong with you?
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth care to know my name, care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Not because of who I am,
but because of what you've done.
Not because of what I've done,
but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today, gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind.
Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am.
I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I am yours, I am yours. Woo! If you noticed or not, but the professional was asking him a lot of questions during that song. You know what I'm saying? Well, thank you, sweetheart. She said, we both sing very good. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll sing you another song, and before I share mine and my wife's story. You know, I've come to the place where I've stopped saying my testimony, because it's not just my testimony. The story I'm going to share tonight is mine and my wife's story, because literally if my wife wasn't a part of the story, I wouldn't even be here tonight. I tell you, I wouldn't be here tonight, and I'm so thankful for my wife and what she means to my heart and my family and my ministry. Without her, none of this could even be possible. And so anyway, I want to do you one more song. I want to tell you very quickly what I have on my table. Some of you are here for the first time tonight. I want to tell you what we have out there. By the way, first of all, if you are wearing a t-shirt off of my table, would you stand up right now? If you're wearing a t-shirt that came from my merch table, okay? Thank you so much. God bless all of you. God bless you. What that means is there's a whole lot of you that need to come to my table, because I got a bunch of t-shirts. No, I want to tell you what I have out there. There it is. Okay, so at my table tonight, on your way out, if you would like to help support our ministry, you can do that by getting some music. I have a CD set. Listen close. I want to make this very clear. In this case, there are actually two CDs. Some of you picked it up and you said, well, I got two, one. Well, if you look, this is disc one and that's disc number two, okay? There's two CDs in here, and each CD has two albums. So there's a total of four albums in this set, okay? There's some oldies hits from our show in Pigeon Forge. There's some country hits from Pigeon Forge. There's some Christmas music off my Christmas album. There's some great gospel music. So there's the CD set. The CD set is $20. Then we have these cool caps that say Gone Fishing on the front. Look here, my model just stood up. He's wearing a Gone Fishing cap. The Gone Fishing cap, if you look at it, below the Gone Fishing, it has Matthew 4:19. This is where Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, okay? So the caps out there are $20. So the CD is $20 and the cap is $20. Okay, I just make sure everything was okay over there. Okay. All right, so we got the CDs for $20, the cap for $20. All of our t-shirts are $20. We have this shirt that I'm wearing that says, normal isn't coming back, Jesus is. Can we agree? Amen. This world has lost its mind, but Jesus is coming back. We have these shirts here. Some of you got these. We have these in all adult sizes. We have these in adult small. This says, Jesus saves, bro. Amen. Jesus saves, bro. And then our latest, is that what that says? Jesus saves. We got another one out there. It kind of looked like that. Then our new kid shirt on the front, it says, Jesus is my best friend. Amen. You like that shirt? How about that? Jesus is my best friend. Then if you'd like, if your car don't have a CD player, we also have the music on a USB stick, okay? The USB sticks are $40, and then when you buy a USB, you get a free T-shirt. We have two different USBs out there, all right? So anyway, stop and see us out there at the table, and we would appreciate your support. And would you bow your heads with me? Can we just bow? Just pray right now. Lord, we love you, and we don't know what's going on, but you do. We pray, God, that your hand of protection would be with this situation. You're God, the great physician. So do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I tell you something that's really cool? I just thought of this. I've been telling you all week that two of my friends from Claremont, Florida drove up to spend the week with us. One of those friends is an RN that's out there right now. God sent a nurse from Florida. Amen. And I think God knew that nurse needed to be here. Amen. How about that? Can we give the Lord a hand clap for just being who he is? And she's got a pretty cool husband, too. He's sitting there right now. Amen. So praise the Lord. The midnight cry, amen. Jesus is coming back. Somebody say the King is coming. Amen. Amen. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. And at the midnight cry, we'll be going home. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise. And then those that remain will be quickly changed at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. Can we give King Jesus a hand clap of praise? And somebody say, the King is coming. Amen.
I look around me and I see prophecies fulfilling and signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father, and he says, Son, go get my children. And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise. a midnight cry when Jesus comes again. And then those that remain will be quickly changed. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, oh, the King is coming, amen. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes again.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hope you're not in a hurry. Amen. Now I got to share my testimony, and that takes an hour and a half. I'm just kidding with you guys. Let me get these ear monitors off my neck there. Have you had a good time so far in church tonight? Say amen. I have too. I love sharing our story. You know, I want to tell you something. I hear a lot of people, when they hear our story, they talk about how, you know, they wish they had a story like mine. You know, because my story is what they call a smash 'em, thrash 'em, and trash 'em story. I'm actually doing a brand new album right now. I went to Nashville last week. I've hooked up with a couple of great producers that are working on my album. One of my producers, I was sharing my testimony with him. One of my producers, he's about 35 years old. He said, you know, I don't have one of them testimonies like you. He said, I've never been involved with alcohol or drugs. He said, I was a virgin when I got married. My wife was a virgin. He said, me and my wife, he said, we're the only ones that we've ever been with. He said, I don't have one of them powerful testimonies like you. I said, no, brother. I said, yours is a lot more powerful than mine. He said, what do you mean? I said, do you know there are very few people in this world today that can tell me what you just said? Amen. Come on, let's be honest. Most of us, we're pretty good at screwing things up, right? But I love sharing our story. I've been singing most of my life, and I want, just give me your attention for just a few minutes, okay? I'll try to be quick tonight. Most of us, we mess things up, and I made a mess of my life for a little while. I've been singing most of my life, raised singing in a family gospel quartet called the Evans Family. And we were very successful in the southeastern part of the country. The group was made up of my dad, me, my brother 2 years older than me, and my sister 2 years younger than me. And we were very busy when I was a kid singing. We used to work with a lot of the stars from the Hee Haw Show and did a lot of tour dates. And I was raised singing in what they call Southern Gospel music. Any Southern Gospel music fans out there, raise your hand if you like Southern Gospel music. Yeah. So we was a Southern Gospel quartet. But when I was 19 years old, I heard a guy sing for the first time, and it literally changed my life. Brooks and Dunn came on the radio. And that guy, Ronnie Dunn, is the guy that does most of their singing. And I heard him sing that song. I saw the light, I've been baptized by the fire in your touch. Remember that song? When I heard him sing that song, I said, oh my goodness, that's the best voice I've ever heard. I fell in love with country music. And when I was 19 years old, I went to my dad and I told my dad that I was leaving our family quartet because I was going to be a country star. I really believed that God had put me on planet Earth to be a country star. Ronnie Dunn, to this day, is my musical hero. He's probably influenced me more vocally than anybody else. And I left our family singing group when I was 19 years old. We put together a local country band, and we ended up playing in a lot of the local beer joints and honky tonks. And we developed a pretty good following in East Tennessee. Every Friday and Saturday night, we were playing in a smoky bar and developed a few fans. And then I met the lady that would become my wife, Mary Ann. Mary Ann and I started dating in 1993, fell in love. And Mary Ann and I got married December the 18th of 1994. And you know what? It's hard to believe. This year, my wife and I will celebrate 28 years of marriage. How about that? Amen. When you hear the rest of my story, you're going to realize how that is a miracle. My band and I, we went, when my wife and I were dating, we went in the studio and we did a demo tape. This is back when they still had cassette tapes. Anybody remember cassette tape? Wave at me. Oh, yeah. How about, anybody remember 8-track tapes? 8-tracks? Wow. How about the records? They had 33, 78, and 45. Wow, you all go way back. Remember what was before that? Reel to reel. Anybody remember reel to reel? Golly. Okay, was anybody there when God put the Ten Commandments on the stone tablets You LJ people, you're older than dirt. So I did a demo tape. I didn't know what happened to that demo tape because we continued to play in the beer joints and the honky-tonks. But when my wife and I got married, we got married December the 18th of 1994. And literally just 3 months after our wedding day, I received a phone call that changed my life forever. Somehow there was a booking agent out of Orlando, Florida that got his hands on that demo tape of me singing. This is the booking agent that booked all of the talent at Walt Disney World Orlando. And he booked a lot of the big concert venues across the country. And he called me and he said, "Is this Kenny Evans?" I said, "It is." He said, "I've got this tape of you singing." He said, "You're really good." And he said, "We're looking for a new artist to promote." He said, "Would you be interested in letting me be your booking agent?" And I said, "Well," I said, "tell me what's in it for me." He said, "I'll make you a deal." He said, "If you'll make me your booking agent," he said, "in 2 weeks, I'll have you in Greenville, South Carolina as the opening act for Kenny Chesney." Sure enough, I signed a contract with that booking agent. 2 weeks later, I was on stage with Kenny Chesney. I think they got some, there it is. How about that? You see that guy in the white cowboy hat? That's me when I was 23 years old. Keep it up for just a second. Leave it up. That was taken on Kenny Chesney's tour bus after our show in Greenville, South Carolina. And there was this true story. There was a promoter that wanted us to get together. And it was me and my wife actually took that picture right there in Greenville, South Carolina. So my wife took that picture. This is a true story. My wife took that picture. And then after she took the picture, now listen, kids, this was before cell phones. This is back when you went and bought, it was a yellow cardboard box that they called a camera. And on the top of it was a crank. And you would snap that picture and then you would go. Who remember these? Anybody out there? See, there was a time, young people, you couldn't just take a picture and instantly look at it. You had to wait. You had to take it and get the pictures developed. So you didn't even know what the pictures looked like until they developed them. So my wife took that picture right there, and then she said, "Take a picture of me and Kenny Chesney together." I said, "Okay, this is the truth." At my house today, there is that picture. And then there's a picture of Kenny Chesney and my thumb. And boy, she got mad at me. Go ahead and pull that down there. So anyway, I signed with this booking agent. My booking agent, he put me on tour. And I went on the road. My career started to take off, and I became the opening act for some of country music's biggest stars. I signed a recording contract in Nashville. I was the opening act for Kenny Chesney, Toby Keith, Charlie Daniels, Billy Ray Cyrus, just about any country star you can remember out of the 1990s. When I was on tour, I did shows with them and worked with them and got to know some of them very well. Nashville heard about who I was. They put together a team in Nashville that was determined to make me a country star. How many of you remember the band Sawyer Brown? Remember Sawyer Brown? Well, their founder and a record producer, Bobby Randall, became my record producer. Do you remember the country star Aaron Tippin? I was managed by his management company, and I had everything in place. I had my manager, my producer, my booking agent. We signed a recording contract, and my career was taking off. And I was on the road over 250 days a year with the biggest stars in country music, and things were really, 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 it took off like a rocket. And I was very young, I was very naive, and I wasn't ready for this. And I want to tell you something tonight, and I want you young people to listen to me. Listen, young people. If you don't hear anything else I say, listen to this. The Bible says that Satan is the father of all lies. He's the father of all lies, and he wants to destroy you. The Bible says he is a lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. I was 23 years old in the country music business, and I wasn't ready for this. There was people telling me everywhere I had to be. I literally had people telling me everywhere I was supposed to be and when I was supposed to be there. And the devil started lying to me. The big record executives in Nashville, some of them started offering me alcohol. This is something I'd never experienced before. When they offered me alcohol, the devil lied to me. And the devil said, "Kenny, when they offer you alcohol, you need to drink with these people because you need these people. These people are the people that's going to make you famous. So drink with them." So I started drinking. And I started drinking a lot. And I started drinking every night. Some of them actually offered me drugs. The devil said, "Do drugs with them. You need them. They're going to make you famous." And I started doing drugs. And I started drinking and using drugs every single night of my life. For most of the 1990s, I didn't know where I was or who I was. I was drunk every night. I was high every night. I cheated on my wife. You've heard the stories. I lived that life. I was as lost as a goose, had no idea who Jesus really was. I was raised singing in a gospel quartet. But I had no idea what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus. I was a drunk, I was a dope head, and I was a cheater. And my life was spinning out of control. I'll never forget, it didn't take long and I became a miserable man. I want to tell you something. It's a miracle that I'm standing before you today. So many nights, I put myself in positions where I should have been a dead man. I've seen people get shot. I've seen people get stabbed. I've seen it all. That world out there is a very dark world. That's one reason I have a passion for sharing the gospel. I love sharing mine and my wife's story because I know what's out there. And you need to realize that is a very dark world out there. Time is short, and we have to tell people about Jesus. Amen. And I was out of control. I was a drunk, and I was a dope head, and I was a cheater, and I was miserable. I was miserable. Now, this is the crazy thing. When I was on tour, this is what would happen. Sometimes I would go on tour. I would be gone for 5 or 6 weeks at a time. My wife was at home. At this time, we had two small boys. My wife was at home raising my two sons, being faithful. She had no idea what I did when I went on the road. I was drunk and high every night, doing everything I shouldn't do. I'd go on the road for 5 or 6 weeks, and then I'd come home for a week or two, and everything was okay. I was living a double life. I'd go right back out on the road for 4 or 5 weeks and get right back into that same lifestyle. Alcohol, drugs, fill in the blanks. It was me. And I was miserable. I'll never forget my booking agent called me up. And he told me, he said, listen, this was the new year of 1998. He said, you've got a big show booked in Valdosta, Georgia, the new year of 1998. We went and did this show in Valdosta that New Year's Eve. I was drunk and high the whole weekend. And I'll never forget that next week. We were headed home Thursday or Friday. And I was laying in the back seat of a minivan. Somebody was, I don't remember who was driving that day, but I was in the back seat of a minivan by myself, and I was just staring at the ceiling of this minivan. And I just got to reflecting on who I was. And I had become the very person that I never wanted to be, a drunk, a dope head, and a cheater. And in that moment, that's when the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. And I knew for the first time that I was a lost man. And I knew that had I died, I would have went to hell because I didn't know Jesus. And in my heart, I wanted Jesus to save me and set me free. I knew I needed it, and I knew I wanted it. And I needed the Lord to change my life. But I also knew this, in order for me to get right with God, I'd have to get right with my wife. Remember, she knew nothing. She was completely innocent, had no idea what was going on. I got home from that trip to Valdosta, and my wife and I, we put our children to bed. In the living room that night, my wife looked at me and she said, Kenny, she said, you look like something's wrong. I said, funny you should ask that. I said, there's a whole lot wrong with me. She said, what is it? I said, Marianne, I said, I'm about to break your heart and I want you to know I'm so sorry. And I seen tears well up in her eyes. And that night I confessed everything to my wife. I told her about all the alcohol and the drugs and the adultery. I told her about every bit of it. And she just began to weep and it broke my heart. It crushed me. And all I could do is I buried my face in the palms of my hands and I just began to weep. Now, I don't know how long it took. But it seemed like in the blink of an eye, my wife had ran to me across our living room. She had fell on top of me, wrapped her arms around me, and as she was sobbing, she said, I forgive you. I forgive you. I love you. She said, I married you for the rest of my life. Let's make our marriage work. And I looked at my wife and I said, say what? Say. She said, I forgive you. She said, let's make our marriage work. And I looked at her and I said, the only way our marriage is going to work is I have to give my heart and life to Jesus. The only way my career is going to work is put Jesus in the middle of it. Our home needs Jesus. I need Jesus to save me. I'm a lost man, and I need him to set me free. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we're saved by grace through faith. Grace meaning we don't deserve it. That Sunday morning, we went to church together, and then when they gave the invitation, at that Country Baptist Church in Oliver Springs, Tennessee, I came to the altar that morning and I prayed and I confessed who I was to the Lord and I said to God, I said, I hate who I am. I hate everything about me. I've hurt everybody that loves me. I'm a dope head. I'm a drunk. I'm a cheater. And I said, God, I'm begging you today, please change me. Change my heart, God, and change who I am. And I want to tell you, on that day, I got saved and I've never been the same. Jesus changed my life. And I want to tell you something tonight. My favorite verse in all the Bible, I believe all the Bible to be the Word of God. I believe it's perfect without error. But the verse that speaks to my heart is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. The old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. And I want to tell you something. What the Bible is saying there is when you truly meet Jesus, if you really get saved, he changes you. There's no way you can get saved and not get changed. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you remember when he changed you? You know, it blows my mind that the people out there that will tell me, yeah, I'm saved, but I don't remember when it happened. I'm just going to tell you, this is from the book of Ken, okay? If you can't remember when you got saved, I don't believe it ever happened. How could you forget the greatest thing that ever happened to you? We remember all kinds of things. Do you remember your wedding day? I do. Do you remember the day your children were born? I do. It's a true story. My father-in-law, Greg Johnson, when my wife's with me, she wants to kill me for bringing this up. My father-in-law is actually an Elvis impersonator. True. 6'4" Elvis. Elvis brought me my wife. I'll never forget it. We remember all kinds of things. I remember things that happened when I was a child. I remember that Little League baseball game. I remember that stand-up triple like it was yesterday. Here's what I'm saying. There are lots of things that we will never forget. How could you ever forget the day that Jesus saved you? Dear friend, if you can't remember when he saved you and changed you, I don't believe it ever happened. Let me tell you something. You'll never forget it. You'll never forget it. Has he changed your heart? He set me free, changed my heart, restored my marriage. I continue to tour as a country singer. Started living for the Lord, started studying the Bible. My booking agent called me up in August of 1999. He said, Kenny, you're booked to do a show in Wagner, South Dakota at the Fort Randall Casino. So we were booked to do this show in South Dakota. We traveled 2 days to get there. On our way into South Dakota, or into Wagner, South Dakota, we actually traveled the first day. We stopped and spent the night in Kansas City, Missouri. We got up the next day in Kansas City, Missouri. We drove all day to South Dakota, to Wagner, South Dakota. We got 10 miles from our hotel. And I didn't know this, but there was a drunk driver, or there was a 19-year-old man that decided he was going to get drunk and try to make it home. He worked for his dad's construction company. And he got drunk with his friends. They drank all day, and at 11 o'clock at night, he tried to make it home, and he didn't turn his headlights on. He crossed into my lane, and I was in a head-on collision at 70 miles an hour that almost killed me and my whole band. This is what I was driving that night. And we're almost done. Stick with me for just a moment, okay? At 11 o'clock at night, a drunk driver, 19 years old, didn't turn his headlights on because he's afraid he'd go to jail, and he crossed into my lane, and he almost killed me and my whole band. They got me to the hospital, found out I had a lacerated liver, almost died of internal injuries. I laid for 11 days fighting for my life with internal injuries. My drummer was in the passenger seat. CB radio mounted to the roof of the van. The CB radio, on impact, it broke and it cut his nose off. Hit him in the face and cut his nose off. My rhythm guitar player, in some vehicles you got what they call a bench seat where three or four people can sit. And then some you got what they call a captain's chair. A captain's chair is a single chair for one person. That had captain's chairs in the middle. So my rhythm guitar player was seated in the captain's chair. And on impact, he was thrown in the back of my seat. His face at the back of my head, it knocked all of his teeth out and broke all of his ribs. Now stick with me for just a moment, okay? Young people, listen to me. Be very still, okay? My lead guitar player was in the captain's chair behind the passenger. 2 weeks before this, 2 weeks before this, we were in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We had a couple of days off, and me and my lead guitar player went to the laundromat, and I shared the gospel with him. I knew he was a lost man. I knew he'd never been saved. I shared the gospel with him in Fort Lauderdale at a laundromat, and he said, no, I don't want Jesus. I don't want to be saved. I don't want nothing to do with it. I said, all right. 2 weeks later, in that van, that same man didn't have his seatbelt on. There was a square wooden table beside of his seat. And on impact, he was thrown into that table. The far corner of that table, it grabbed his head above his left ear, and that wooden table literally ripped the whole top of his head off and completely scalped him. It knocked me out instantly, but when I woke up in that van that night, I woke up to the most horrific screaming I had ever heard in my life. And I looked behind me, and I saw my friend and my guitar player laying in the floor of the van. The whole top of his head was ripped off, completely scalped, laying in a puddle of blood. And listen to me, I'm telling you, he was kicking his legs and his arms were jerking like he was being electrocuted. And all I could remember was 2 weeks before this, when I asked him to give his heart and life to Jesus, he said no. And I begged God that night to save him. I said, God, please give him another chance. God, please give him another chance. Have mercy on him, God. And God's a good God. And God heard my prayer that night. And everybody that was in that accident, they're alive today. I don't know that they ever gave their heart and life to the Lord. Have no idea. But I know God answered my prayer. Just a few months later, I left Nashville in the country music business to serve the Lord. I became a pastor. I went to work at a theater in Pigeon Forge, and for 18 years I've been traveling the country preaching as an evangelist. I want to tell you what I know. I'll never have the money that I would have had had I become a country star. I'll never be as famous. But the Bible says, don't lay up treasures here on earth. Lay them up in heaven. I want to ask you tonight, do you remember when he saved you and set you free? Do you remember when he saved you and set you free? I'm so glad you remember. So many people don't. Some people remember and some people don't. And I want to ask you tonight, do you remember when he set you free? Do you remember when he changed your heart? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away, and behold, all things are become new. You have a choice to make tonight. Listen to me, dear friend. You have no idea when your heart will beat its last beat. You have no idea when your lungs will take their last breath. It could be in this moment. Are you ready to meet Jesus? You have a choice to make tonight. You can say yes to the free gift of grace and have heaven for all eternity, or you can let selfish, foolish pride keep you from inviting Jesus to save you. And if you leave this world without Jesus as the Lord of your life, then you will experience what they call hell for all of eternity. The Bible says it's the lake of fire, a place where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Here's what I want to tell you. It doesn't matter how dark your past is. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you're at right now. All that matters is this. Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you and set you free tonight. I am absolutely thrilled that I can say Jesus is my best friend. I don't deserve it, but I praise him for it. What will you choose tonight? Heads bowed and eyes closed, everyone in the room. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you tonight and you realize that you need Jesus to save you and set you free, God is speaking to your heart and you know you need to invite Jesus to come into your heart, I want to ask you to pray with me right now. Nothing magical about the prayer. Repeating after a preacher don't save you, but if you'll mean this with all of your heart, tonight you can be saved. So would you pray with me now? Pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, tonight I give you my heart. Tonight I give you my life. I invite you to be my Savior and my Lord. On this night, I choose to be a follower of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Nobody looking but me. If you just prayed with me, dear friend, and you'll say, Kenny, tonight I prayed with you and I invited Jesus into my heart and I have made him my Lord. The Bible says we're to confess it. We're about to experience something called spiritual warfare. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to be braver than you've ever been. The devil's going to lie to you and tell you you're nervous. But Jesus has saved you and set you free. Listen to the voice of God in this moment. If you just prayed a moment ago with me and asked Jesus into your heart, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and hold it in the air. One, two, three. Anybody out there? Hold your hand high. Get them up real high. You say, tonight I prayed and I invited Jesus to come into my heart. Everybody with your hand in the air on the count of three, stand to your feet. One, two, three. Would you stand to your feet? God bless you. God bless you. Everybody standing, would you look at me right now? Everybody standing, would you look at me on the side? Did you pray tonight and ask Jesus to come into your heart? Did you trust him to be the Lord of your life? Put a smile on your face. It's the greatest day of your life. In the back, did you pray and invite Jesus into your heart? Did you make him your Lord? Put a smile on your face. It's the greatest day of your life. Over here, did you invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Put a smile on your face. It's the greatest day of your life. I want to tell you something. You've been saved. You've been set free. The devil's going to try to tell you that you don't have it, but the devil's a liar. The devil's a loser. And I want to ask you to do one more thing. On the count of three, I want to ask the pastor to come down front, and I want you to come down and let this church pray over you and celebrate you've been born again. On the count of three, would you join us in the altar? One, two, three. Would you come now? God bless you. God bless you. Church, would you give them a hand clap of encouragement? Would you show them some love? Would you show them some love? Can we celebrate what God has done in the house? Y'all make more noise than that for a Georgia football game. What's wrong with you? Somebody stand up and give God a shout of glory. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. Amen. Time out. Golly. Hang on a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 19 have made a profession of faith tonight. Church, I want to ask you to pray for every one of these people. Those of you that came to the altar tonight, would you turn around and look at me right now? All of you that raised your hand, here's what I want to ask you to do, okay? We're going to pray over you, all right? Listen close. After I pray, I want each and every one of you to go sit right over there in that section, okay? Go right over there and sit. Then after church, somebody, a church leader, do we have any Sunday school teachers in the house? Raise your hand if you teach Sunday school. Get your hands up high. Sunday school teachers, after this service, I want you to go over here and talk with these people. I want you to ask them and share with them what they need to know. Listen, we need to be sure they know what the decision they've made and that we're going to pray with them and stand with them, all right? Here's what I want to tell you. Look at me. The devil is going to try to wear you out. He's going to try to tell you that it ain't real. He's going to try to tell you that you don't deserve it. But I want to tell you something. Jesus died on the cross to pay your sin debt in full. Can I be straight with you? There are days that I don't feel saved. There are days I don't feel worthy to be saved. There are days that I question, is it even real? That's the flesh in me, okay? But I always know this. We're not saved because of what we know. We're not saved because of how we feel. We're saved because of what Jesus done on the cross. And what he done on the cross completed every bit of it. So you remember that, amen? We're going to pray over you, and then I want you to come sit in this section right over here. Father, we celebrate 19 professions of faith tonight. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give them a hand clap and let them know you love them. Make your way right over here. Right over there. Grab you a seat. I want to give it to the pastor. Everybody grab a seat for just a moment. Amen. Come on, you can go to the second row or third row, whatever you want to do. Remember what I said this week? What did we say? If you'll do your part, ask somebody to come to church, pray for them, and invite them. Pray for them and invite them. We give them the gospel, God will do his part. Amen. And God has done his part tonight. Amen. We give the Lord praise. Amen. Pastor, what are we doing? Sure, let's do that. Let's do that. Amen. Thank you, church, this week for your generosity. Thank you for supporting me at my table, and thank you for your generosity to our ministry. We know that God will bless that, and I want you to know this is a special place. It really is. Revival don't end tonight. This is just the beginning of what God wants to do down the road. Amen. Amen.